Hi, it's Vicky here from Online Marketing Basics for Busy Website Owners, and welcome to this episode of the podcast where I'm going to be talking to an array of business owners all about how they manage time in their business. And by listening, you're going to get some hints, tips, and gold that you can take away that will help you understand how you can prioritize the things that you're doing in your business, manage your time better, and actually want to do the tasks that you need to do as well. I'll see you in just a sec. I'm Vicky Jakes, and in this podcast, I'm aiming to bring you no-nonsense advice on how to drive more traffic to your small business website so that you can start making more money. It will be packed full of hints and tips, jargon-free, and a chance for us to geek out together on a weekly basis. So let's crack on with this week's episode. Hi there, and welcome to this very special episode of the podcast where I'm going to be talking about time management. And time management is something I have been deeply interested in for many years, because I worked as a digital project manager in the agency world in my corporate past, managing teams of designers, developers, copywriters, marketeers, all to bring a project to fruition, to deliver it on a particular date for a particular wodge of budget. And it was in our interests to deliver that project as quickly as possible so that we didn't use up resources that would cost money. And it was in the client's interest that we do that as well, so that they could plan their marketing around the delivery of a website or an app on time. And so trying to understand how long tasks will take was something I had to study. Trying to understand how long it would take certain individuals to undertake those tasks as well is something I had to get to know. And understanding human behavior about how people feel about doing tasks within allotted time slots is really interesting, because people are very different. You can't just sit down and say to someone, okay, go and do these things, off you go. Because there's a psychology behind understanding what the task is, how long it's going to take, is it repetitive, does it need a lot of thinking? I know a lot of my designer and creative colleagues were always really frustrated when a client would ask them to come up with something creative in 24 hours. You know, they'd explain that they'd need to go away and think and let inspiration hit, and you know, you have their ideas in the shower kind of thing. You can't just ask someone on the spot to come up with something creative. So really understanding the tasks that one has to do, how long they realistically take, and then the priority of those tasks as well, because you can only do so much in a day, right, was a really big part of being a project manager. And I worked very hard to protect the time of my team and try and understand the priority of tasks. And now that I'm working with small business owners, I can see that not much has changed in the world of time management, especially as a lot of the people that I work with, particularly in my membership, the Supercharger website membership, are business owners who work on their own, right? So they're doing all the things. You're doing all the things, right? And it could be that you're making your website as well as doing your marketing, you're doing your own tax returns, you're going to the post office, you're making and delivering the things that you're selling. How much time does it take to do all of these things? And where does marketing and traffic driving activities sit in the priority list? It is an ongoing project, right? Trying to manage your time and trying to do it as effectively as possible. And as I was putting together the notes for this episode, I realized that I could talk, like, if I was going to give you my perspective and talk about how I manage time, I'm sure that would be useful to a point. But I was really interested to hear how others perceive time, because I know it has changed my own values and judgments about how I perceive time from my project management years. And I thought it would be interesting to hear different perspectives of how people approach trying to do all of the things, the tools that they use. I've even asked a couple of friends and people in my membership to come and chat about their particular industries as well. So you're going to hear from a lot of different voices in this episode and a lot of different viewpoints. And I think that's really fitting when we're talking about time management, because whatever I'm going to talk about from my perspective might not work for everyone. So for example, I have to sit and work under immense pressure if I'm going to get tasks that take focus done, because I have to get my brain into a place of like a state of flow, right? So if I'm coding or if I'm designing or if I'm writing, one of those three things, I can't have any distractions. I have to sit and work, because as soon as I'm distracted and I stop, like there's a ping on my phone or the kids burst in or the doorbell rings, it just takes me a really long time to get back into that state again. I found that was the case with many developers I worked with in the past. And actually, there was a study that was done that suggested that every time you interrupted a developer, it could take them up to 25 minutes to get back in that state of flow again. So just by tapping a developer on the shoulder and saying, can I just ask you a quick question? Like you can hold back a project half an hour each time. So I totally get and understand that. And for me, doing things under pressure is because I like the adrenaline. I was always like it at university. I don't know if you were like this, but I used to write all my papers two or one night before they had to be handed in. And I'd do my best work. I'd focus hard. And it's a combination of that pressure that I haven't given myself enough time to get the thing done, the task complete. I only have a finite amount of time left. There's the adrenaline that helps me get into the flow state. And then when I'm in the flow state, I can do the work much quicker because I'm focused. If I don't have the pressure, if I don't have the flow state, then you know, changing things on a website or writing copy can take me hours and hours, because I'll let myself get easily distracted. Even if I have a to-do list, even if I have post-it notes all around me in front of me telling what I'm working on that day, I have a whiteboard as well that tells me how to do these things. But really, the only way that I find I can get things done is by having one task to complete in a particular time period and not much time left to complete it. It's not for everyone, right? So again, this is why I think it's important to bring others and their viewpoints into this episode. I'm going to kick off with just a couple of words from some of my members from the Supercharged website membership, who gave me their perspective on why they're not good at time management. First up is Tina Lancaster from Handheld Marketing.
In my family, there's a thing called Tina time, because they have to give me a time that's about an hour ahead of the time they give everybody else, just to make sure that I arrive to family events on time. I am absolutely terrible. But I have been working for myself now for well over 25 years, and things always take longer than I expect. And I do actually cram an awful lot into my day.
I love this concept of Tina time. And I think that comes from self-awareness that Tina's developed there, how she manages her time. We'll hear from Tina a little bit later on in this episode about the tactics that she utilizes to actually get stuff done. But I think having a self-awareness about how you manage your time is a really good place to start. It it took me a few mistakes of not delivering things on time in my university days to realize I did my best work the night before. And I've been able to dial into that feeling ever since. But if you're not aware of how you approach tasks, how they make you feel, what it feels like to sit down and organize yourself, then you're not going to understand how you can improve what you're doing. And up next is Caroline Churchman from the Fitness Hive, who just made me laugh with this statement. I love this concept of Tina time. And I think that comes from a real self-awareness that Tina's developed there, how she manages her time. We'll hear from Tina a little bit later on in this episode about the tactics that she utilizes to actually get stuff done. But I think having a self-awareness about how you manage your time is a really good place to start. It took me a few mistakes of not delivering things on time in my university days to realize I did my best work the night before. And I've been able to dial into that feeling ever since. But if you're not aware of how you approach tasks, how they make you feel, what it feels like to sit down and organize yourself, then you're not going to understand how you can improve what you're doing. And up next is Caroline Churchman from the Fitness Hive, who just made me laugh with this statement.
I would describe myself as the Mr. Bean of time management. I once forgot that I had a time management course to attend, and I managed to double book myself. So I then had to rejig the appointments and I turned up to the course late, which is classic. Anyway, I'm really good at the big picture, so I can see things from afar, but I'm really poor when it comes to detail. And I'd love to be better at it. My husband looked at my diary the other day and he said, "This is all really good, but when are you going to eat?" So yeah, time management is a problem for me, I would say. I think it was fine when my business wasn't very busy, but as I get busier, I can see it's a little bit of a hindrance. So I would love all the help that I can get.
Well, look, here's the brilliant thing about what Caroline was talking about is that she has self-awareness about how she's managing her time and wants to improve it. And I think that's a really good start in looking at how you can improve your own time management practices in your business that you know you need to improve. I know there's some of you listening to this thinking, well, just write a to-do list and work through the things one by one and cross them off. There you go, done. But there's an issue with that, right? Is when we write to-do lists, quite often we're not writing them to be completed within a particular time period. And I know many people, including myself, who just maintain an eternal to-do list and it never ends. As new things come in, they get added to the bottom. So all you're doing at any one time is just working through task by task, no matter what the priority of that task is for your business. And again, the psychology of how we deal with to-do lists is that we tend to pick off the easy things to do first, not the things that are going to bring impact in our business at any moment in time. Paul Green from the Cockpit Method gives some really interesting insight here, based on the experience that he had in the commercial cockpit with his 10 years experience in the aviation industry. I really loved the comparisons that he makes with how business owners manage time versus what he experienced as a pilot.
Aviation industry is a really interesting one to look at when you talk about time management, because on one side it's incredibly safety critical. So if something takes longer to do, then you allow it the time that it needs in order to have a safe operation. But at the same time, it's one of the few industries where you get penalized financially for everything to do with time. So if we fly the airplane too fast, we burn more fuel, it costs more money. If we leave an airport late, we get fined for leaving late. If we arrive early, we get fined for leaving early. The implications of Things like compensation for passengers are massive, that, you know, the slightest little delay we have, we can just be fined in so many ways that it could be crippling for an airline. I did some research recently where I found that if EasyJet, for example, took an extra 5 minutes on every single flight they did over the course of a year, it would cost the company £5 billion in fuel. So time management is so incredibly important whilst staying safe and make sure you're completing everything you need to complete. And that's where checklists are so incredibly important. One of the most time pressured elements of a flight that we have every single day is the turnaround. So we have about 30 minutes to turn the airplane between two flights. So that's getting all the passengers off, cleaning the airplane, doing the catering, from the flight deck point of view, setting it up, getting everything ready for the next flight, and having a break ourselves. And that's where checklists are just so, so valuable. Everything we do comes from the checklist, and we follow the checklist to the letter to make sure that every single thing we are doing is done correctly, and to keep us on track and keep us within that time frame. The other interesting lesson from the aviation industry is that our decision-making model that we use as pilots, so every time we have a big decision to make, and this can be life or death decisions in a full-blown emergency or just decisions whilst we're in flight, the first part of that decision-making model is how much time do we have? So we always are thinking ahead. How much time do we have to complete this task so that we can alter what we're going to do to fit the time scale? Similarly, we work out how long is something going to take in order for us to be able to proceed. And I think those two things work hand in hand, especially in business. You know, we don't want to be spending too long on a task that doesn't need that amount of time. But similarly, it's important that we give the time to the tasks that really need our attention. And that's certainly how it works in aviation. So the first step is always, how much time do we have? And then the final step is to review the situation that we were in to make sure that everything we did was correct so that we can learn from that in future. The other interesting lesson from aviation is that we have something called cost index. And it's basically, in the most basic sense, we calculate how fast we want the aeroplane to fly based on how much money it's going to cost us. So the airline calculates the basic cost of a flight versus the cost of fuel. And then we work out how quickly we want to do something based on how much money it's going to cost us. And I think that's, again, something that's incredibly useful for us as business owners. You know, if I want to complete something really, really quickly, what's the implications of that for me financially in my business? If I'm giving up work in order to be able to build a new landing page or write a new email sequence or schedule something into my funnel, what are the implications to my clients that I'm not able to work with during that time? It's something that I teach all my clients all the time. It's so important to work out how long something's going to take, how long we need to complete it, and what the financial implications are going to be.
Ah, so the old checklist comes back into play again here, and it turns out that's a super important way of managing tasks in the aviation industry. But if you had noticed, Paul points out that tasks that really need our attention need to be done first. And so if you can build into your toolkit when you're looking at the tasks that need to be done in your business an intuition about what is going to have the most impact for your business first, then do those tasks first. Some of you listening might be delivering services in your business that take time, and you sell your time. And you're only going to have a finite amount of time around that to do the marketing and to do the sales for your business. And Dr. Paula Redman, who's a clinical psychologist, just takes us through here in this next clip about how she manages her time and how being honest about the capacity that you have will really help you get through the tasks that you have to do in your business, help you manage your time so much more effectively.
I run a therapy business and I have really had to get time management right over the last few months with the pandemic and homeschooling and everything. What I have found really been helpful is starting out with how many client sessions I need a week to reach my financial goals. And once I've been clear on that, basically using time blocking. So how it works out for me, I only work 3 days a week and I have half a day on each of those days are back-to-back client sessions, and the other half of the day is business-related admin. And that's worked really well for me because I am always really clear about what capacity I have to take on new work. I know what space and time I have for non-clinical stuff like meetings or doing my own courses or attending membership sessions like yours. And it's also been really helpful, particularly through the pandemic and with the unsettled time, because my husband and I have been able to kind of take shift in terms of looking after the kids, and I've been able to be really clear about when I need that support. The other thing that I've started doing, which has been really helpful, is thinking about managing time around content creation, because that's been a bit for me that stresses me out. I always feel like I'm spending too long on it, and is it worth it, or leaving it to the last minute. And very recently I have taken a tip from Amy Mitchell, who is a great time management person, and she sort of talks about the 20-80 rule, about thinking about spending 20% of your time on kind of marketing initiatives, and whether that's content creation or website work, etc. For me, that neatly works out to be 5 hours a week and 1 hour a day during the week. So what I have done is use some of the accountability sessions, co-working sessions that the different business groups that I belong to offer. So every day I have an hour blocked out that is just for kind of content creation or marketing stuff. And that's really helped me to get it done, but also to have a sense of what's really realistic and to know my boundaries and to help me think, you know, if I've got ideas for other projects or other opportunities, does it fit? Can I get it done realistically within those 5 hours? And if not, I know it's encroaching on my other time and is going to get messy.
So what's come out of that for me is an idea of the tactics that you can deploy in your own business about how to manage your time. Dr. Paula talks about time blocking in particular, like taking that calendar and being really defiant about the time that you have or have not got available in any given week, and how she leans heavily on her calendar to help her achieve that. And there are plenty of methods and methodologies out there that can help you manage your time. I mean, in the project management world, I have delivered projects using the Prince 2 method, the waterfall method, which means that you can't start a task until the next one is complete. And it kind of looks like a waterfall and a Gantt chart. Also using the agile scrum method, where you all come together, agree a set amount of tasks to complete in a given time, and then go away and do those tasks uninterrupted. I mean, there are plenty of ways to sit down and kind of mark out your time. A lot of people talk about time blocking and utilizing templates. And when I asked people about this on Facebook last week, keeping lists and prioritizing those lists was something that people talked about again and again. But the thing about that, which I thought was really interesting, is how do you make sure that list remains a priority? And someone had mentioned that they have a paper list that they divide into urgent, ongoing, personal, and long term, and they have it open on their desktop whenever they work, so they're constantly seeing it. Others talked about having lists on a whiteboard rather than paper, so they didn't have the extra time spent having to write things out on paper. It seems like having that list visually in front of you is a really important way of reminding you that you've got tasks to do and that there's a priority associated with those tasks. And that's what I really loved about like the Agile Scrum method, right, was that we would sit and have three meetings every 2 weeks, like big meetings. And the first meeting would be at the beginning of the 2 weeks, where we'd talk about all the tasks that needed to be done. And we'd sit as a group and figure out the priority of each of those tasks, and then put an approximate time that the group agreed together as to how long that individual task would take. And then we would put all of those tasks that we agreed we could do in those 2 weeks into a board, and then we would work through the tasks one by one. And my job as a Scrum Master was to check in every day and make sure things kept moving through. And if they were blocked for any reason, I would help deal with any issues and try and understand how we could get those issues unblocked. At the end of the 2 weeks, we'd all come back together and do a review of what we did, and then do another review of our methods. So that meant that when we started again the following week, we would be that little bit better at understanding what we were capable of doing in those 2 weeks, and we'd get better at prioritization. But still, it is pretty difficult to keep people aware of what is a priority and make people stick to the times that they had agreed to do those particular tasks. And so it was really interesting when I'd asked about this on Facebook that the Pomodoro technique came out again and again. It comes from the concept of putting a tomato timer on, you know, like one of those cooking timers to measure how long it takes to boil an egg or whatever. If you set it to 25 minutes and then let it run, you do hard work in that 25 minutes and then have a 5 minute rest and then come back and do 25 minutes again. And you can do that four in a row and then you have a big break. And I love that as a way of actually getting people sat down to do the thing that they're meant to do. Not everyone has a Scrum Master rocking up every single day telling them what tasks they need to do, like I used to do with my developers. And so having, you know, visual tools like a list, something on your desktop, a sticky note on a wall, and then a Pomodoro timer to remind you about the times that you're meant to do are all great tactics for helping you actually sit down and do the work. Tina Lancaster, who we heard from earlier, who's on Tina Time, talks a little bit here about the tactics that she uses to help her get things done in her business. And then we'll hear from Carol Fair, who is a marriage counsellor, and Rachel Larkin from NutriBalance, who is a nutrition expert.
The first one is a list. Create a list and try and give a priority to it of things that absolutely must be done. Things that are going to move your business along, not just the things you fancy doing. The other thing is find out where your time goes. So I use a little app called Toggle, TOGGL.com. It's free. But basically, you can track your different activities. If you're working for clients, you can also see exactly how long you're spending on each activity that you're doing for your client. If you haven't got Toggle, then obviously just a simple stopwatch would do. But it's amazing because once you start tracking your time and seeing where it goes, you start also seeing maybe that you're getting most of the benefit from the things that you're cramming in. I don't know about you, but I work much better under pressure. And if I have a deadline, I will probably wait until the very, very end of the deadline before I get cracking. But that gets me to get the job done probably the quickest it can possibly be done, rather than sitting there procrastinating. The other sort of thing that I have for myself is this carrot and stick, whereby I work Monday to Thursday on my business. And if there's anything that hasn't been done, in order to get a free weekend or weekend off without the anxiety and stresses of all the unfinished jobs, then I will do any unfinished jobs on Friday. So my list will be all the things that need doing, and they'll be sent into chunks of things that I'm hoping to achieve on each day. And if I can't achieve it, I don't get myself in a fluster. I just go, that's okay, that's now my job on Friday. That is the stick. If I haven't done it, I have to do it on Friday. And if I have done it, then I can take Friday off and extend my weekend. I will say I don't get many extended weekends, but I will also say, Vicky, I love your co-working sessions on a Friday, because they are perfect for me to squeeze in these last little things that I have kind of put on the back burner, which more often than not is work for my business as opposed to my client's business. I'm very good at getting their stuff done, but not my own.
The time management strategy that's made the biggest difference to me is using time blocking. Instead of having a to-do list, which was always way bigger than the time I'd got available, every task now gets put into my calendar with some time scheduled for it. It stops me cramming too much in, overscheduling myself, and looking at a to-do list and getting overwhelmed. I just work through my calendar each week, task by task, and get loads more done.
I use a block schedule, so I try to schedule the same things at the same times every week just for continuity. I block out all my exercise and other commitments I have when I'm not available for work. Then Monday mornings, I always have a schedule to check my website updates, look at my Google Analytics and all of those sort of technical things. Then because I'm more productive in the mornings, that's when I do my more creative work like blog post writing and things like that. And I schedule all my calls and client work in the afternoons. Friday, I always try to, try to make time for the co-working sessions, which is when I get my blog posts and other social media posts, newsletters and things like that done.
I think the thing that we can start to see here is that there is just a combination of methods and tactics that people use to manage their time better in their day-to-day life and in their business. I find a combination of having a notebook where I can physically write things down, having a whiteboard. I also have a content planner, like an actual written content planner that I can sit and write my ideas into, plus my Google Calendar. I also work from Trello boards as well, so I can move tasks around as I need to. But I can forget all of these some days and just work from like one Google document. It just depends how I feel on any given day. And it's worth noting, right, that some days you're going to feel different about the tasks that you've got to do compared to others. You might not be a morning person. You might not be an afternoon person. You might not be an evening person. Like, understanding when the best time of day to work to do particular tasks is also really going to help you optimize the way that you work through those for your business. Sally Tyson, who is the owner of Salad Bomb Creative, she's a graphic designer, talks here about the methods that she uses.
So I've got like a few different things that I do, and they all sort of slot together. So some of it's on paper and some of it is electronic. So I've got a bullet journal for my like work tasks, which I do like every week at the beginning of every week. And then I just like note down what needs to be done that week when I'm busy and, like appointments and things like that, which I also replicate in Google Calendar because it sends me notifications so I don't forget things.
So I've definitely learned from listening to the contributions in this episode so far that there are many ways to sit down and approach time management in your business. Some use time blocking, some use techniques, some go with lists. But if any of these tasks don't have a priority set against them, then you don't know what you need to be doing first that's going to have the impact for your business. But then there's this other thing of actually, how do you sit down and do the things that you know are a priority? Because you know, if you know a task is really important to doing your business at any one time, great. But how do you actually sit down and do it and get the motivation to do it? You heard through some of the people talking there about the concept of doing co-working. We do that in the Supercharger website membership every Friday. I borrowed the idea from several membership groups that I've been in the past that have all done it. Me setting co-working up on a Friday was totally selfish because there was nowhere else online I saw doing group co-working on a Friday, which was the day where I don't have calls usually, and the day that I can be left alone in quiet, like why my daughter's sleeping in the afternoon, and that I can actually do focused tasks. And I find it a really awesome way of actually sitting down and being accountable to do the priority tasks in my business. If you've never done online co-working before, essentially it's you join a video conference call, right, like Zoom, and have your camera on and your mic switched off, and you all sit and do a task that you have announced that you'll do at the beginning of the episode in the set amount of time. We do our sessions in 50-minute bursts. And then at the end, you stop, and then you all talk about whether you did that task or not. It's amazing how much you can get done when you feel like there's 8 other people sat there watching you. No one's watching each other. Everyone's trying to get on with their own task. But you don't just get up and go for a wee and rustle through the kitchen cupboards for a snack, because you know you've got to sit there and do the thing you've got to do. And you've only got a set amount of time to do it. We find in the Supercharger website membership, these are great times to sit and actually write blog posts or write emails. That focus, that hard, uninterrupted focus of 50 minutes, means that you can like no social media, no other distractions. You've got your Zoom video camera on you. You have to just sit and do the work. And it works really well. It works really well. And I have to actually rock up and hold these sessions. And so it's full on accountability for me to run them and host them, and I doing the work in them as well. And over time, like doing co-working sessions has led me to understand what I overpromised myself in my head that I can do in those 50 minutes. And it turns out I can write full blog posts in 50 minutes, but I can't do the things like work on websites, the things that I think I can do much quicker. It turns out I can't do them as quick as I think I can. And these co-working sessions have proven that. They work in a similar way to the Pomodoro technique that others spoke about in as well this week in the comments section of the Facebook post when I asked about it. And we'll hear a little bit more about that from Dr. Louise Tonder in the next clip as well. She's actually written a book on time management. And of all the people I was hoping would contribute to this episode, I was very excited that she got in touch. Because she's got some really good time management tips and techniques that will help you understand how you can want to do the tasks that are on your list. So get a pen and paper for this one.
Hello, I'm Louise. A while ago, I published a small steps guide to goal setting and time management, and I'm going to share some quick time management techniques with you. It helps if you have an A3 pad and some coloured pens to do this, but if you don't, you can just use a biro and just any old piece of paper will do. I'm going to give you 3 quick time management techniques and then a fun one involving folding paper in different ways. So first of all, it really helps. This is why you've got your A3 paper and your coloured pens. It really helps if you mind map your life roles. Why am I talking about life roles? Because once you've done a brain download and you've got all of the things you do in your life down on one bit of paper, you can start to see immediately what's important and what isn't. So I've got one here that I did. So I've got my family, my health, my friends, my computer, self-care, relationships, paid teaching that I do, the online courses I've created, my writing. I've just got everything down in one go. And then off each of those ideas on my mind map in different colours, I've got the different aspects of those things. So I've gone a bit more granular. I've written down things that are important in each of those areas. You know how else this is really good, or what else this is good for? It's great for coming up with ideas, because down here I've got, well, I go for walks with my families. One of the other things I do is I write freelance feature articles. Well, that's an immediately an idea for a freelance feature article. I could write about going on accessible walks with my family. So you can also mine this for ideas. So it works like that brilliantly too. But in order to use this for time management, you start to think, okay, so what do I actually want to prioritize in my life, and what do I want to put on the back burner? So doing a mind map of all of your life roles immediately makes that obvious to you. And the best thing to do is to make it as colourful as possible and to use different colours for each aspect of the mind map, so that those things really start to leap out at you, which is why I suggested big bit of paper and coloured pens. Another technique I wanted to share is this. Actually, time management isn't really about time itself, because we've all got 168 hours in a week and that doesn't change. Managing time is really about focus time. So, sounds obvious, but you've got to know how you best focus. I'll give you an example. In order for me to focus better, I need to make sure I get enough sleep. I have a meditation practice. I go on walks. Now, those might not seem immediately obvious if you think about actually sitting down to focus, but all of those things enable me to focus and enable me to think things through. So it helps if you work out what the best kind of focus is for you. I grew up in a hotel. My parents ran a hotel. So I'm used to having noise around me. And I think that's why I don't like focusing in complete silence. But you might be the sort of person that does like to focus in complete silence. So working on your focus and knowing how you focus best is really important. So tip number three, know your values. There are exercises you can find online where you get to get a whole list of values and you get to work out which are yours if you're not sure. James Clear's website, off the top of my head, he's written a book called Atomic Habits. He has that kind of exercise on there if you need it. But I'll just tell you quickly mine. So kindness, being with my family, creativity are three really important values for me. And what you do is you match your goals to your values. So you might say, well, I've got a goal to start my own business. How is that going to match with my values? I've got a goal to write a book. How does that match with my values? And you have to put the goals and the values together to make sure that your goals chime with your values. How does that help with time management? Because then when I sit down and think, okay, what do I want to prioritise? Well, I want to prioritise spending time with my family, because I've said that's one of my values. But I also want to prioritise working on my book, because creativity is one of my values. So it really helps with prioritising if you know your values and your goals and how they fit together. So those are my three top time management techniques. The one that I always mention, though, this is a bonus number four, is my Pomodoro. I absolutely love my kitchen timer. You can find out about the Pomodoro technique by Googling it. It's Italian for tomato. You spend 25 minutes working and then have a break, essentially. You time yourself and you can't do anything else during those 25 minutes. And it really helps me to focus. And, you know, lots and lots of people use the Pomodoro technique. So if you don't know about it, look into it. It's great. So I promised you some paper folding. You don't have to fold paper to do this, but it kind of makes you remember it, especially if you're a kinesthetic learner. You can do this with A4 paper, but A3 paper gives you more space to write on the paper afterwards. Okay, so first of all, get your piece of paper and fold it in four. So if you fold down the lines, you could just draw this, but there's something about, like I said, something about actually folding it that makes you remember it afterwards. You end up with four boxes on your piece of paper, and then you label them. I've already labelled mine. So you label the boxes important and non-urgent. urgent and not important, important and urgent, not important and not urgent. So important, not urgent, urgent, not important, important, urgent, and not important, not urgent. Now, the important things that you're going to write on here are going to be the ones that fit with both your values and with your goals. Now, you might think, why would anyone do anything that's not important and not urgent? But I'll just address that one straight away. Well, that might be something like, well, maybe you collect comedy tea towels or comedy mugs. I used to when I was younger, not the tea towels, the mugs. But it wasn't that important. It definitely wasn't urgent. I don't do that anymore, by the way. We've got far too many mugs. But so that kind of thing, that's not part of your work, doesn't, it's not exactly in line with your values. It's just something that you do, would go in a box like that. You might want to carry on doing it, you might not. It's not necessarily a bad thing. So that's that box. So anything that's urgent and important, you're going to put in the important, urgent box and get those written down first. You need to schedule time to do those things straight away because they're important and urgent. If it's urgent and not important, you've got to question why you're doing it and why it's become urgent. But if it is urgent and not important, again, you need to schedule time to do it. But what you're working towards is the important and not urgent box. So write down everything that's important and not urgent. Remember, this is in line with your values and with your goals. Put that in that box. And you're working towards only doing things that are important and not urgent most of the time. Yeah, there might be some time you dedicate to your comedy tea towels, but most of the time you'll be doing important, non-urgent. Why? Because if you do important, non-urgent most of the time, it never becomes urgent. And the urgent, not important, you can schedule time for things like that if they exist in your life, or you can delegate them. So it's good to know what they are. And it depends, again, on that those life roles, which is why I suggested doing the mind map of the life roles. But you're aiming to do important, non-urgent most of the time, and then it never becomes urgent. And then it really feels like you're on top of things. You do have to schedule things in the other boxes, though. When you start doing this, it also really helps just as an exercise to see, okay, how are these things chiming with my values and with my goals, and what do I want to prioritize in my life?
love the comedy tea towel approach there from Louise. I mean, she's clearly shown, right, that it's all about understanding what's important at any one time that's going to help you get through the things that you have on your list. And when you want to do something, you genuinely want to, it's important for you to do in your business, it just makes it that little bit easier to sit down and actually do. But I think we need to address, right, that it's all very well having these tactics and techniques, but just sometimes we can't do what we need to do in our business. Sometimes you're going to have to take some time off. Sometimes you just can't pile loads of things on your plate. And that's okay. We are not robots. We cannot sit down and just churn out hour after hour of work. We need rest. We need recharge time. We need time to get inspiration back. Recharge our energy. And that's totally okay to do. And that should be inbuilt into your business and into your time management practices, as Louise talked about. I have burnt out a couple of times in my career. And I've seen many developers and people in the agency world burn out as well. So there was just a lot of pressure to keep the same energy up, delivering the work again and again and again and again. That's not right. If you're a small business owner, you cannot sustain that level of working. So you have to build in downtime. You have to build in chill time. You have to build in forgiveness time. And this is what I really loved about Kate Stewart's clip which is coming up next. Kate is the owner of Factory Floor Jewellery, which is amazing jewellery. And she gives some really good insight about how to be kind to yourself when it comes to time management.
I have a 4-day a week day job, and I also run a jewellery brand, which I'm continually growing, if you like. And I'm also a carer for two people in their 90s, so my mum and her friend who moved in with us at the start of lockdown. And I have a few health issues myself. So one of the things that I found over the last year of being at home is that I found it a lot easier to stop being hard on myself about all the things I don't achieve, or stressing about how much I get interrupted when I'm doing things that I plan to do for my very, very long to-do list. The first thing that I did was make a decision that I can't really commit to things very early in the mornings. And I just became comfortable with saying that. So rather than constantly feeling like I was on the back foot, constantly stressing that I wasn't performing as well as everybody else, sort of between 9:30 and midday or whatever, feeling guilty when I couldn't answer a phone because I was dealing with a healthcare crisis at home for somebody, or taking somebody to a doctor's appointment, etc., and trying to hide it and cover up for it, I just declared it. So it's on all my email footers now that I work 30 hours a week. This is for my day job. I work 30 hours a week between the hours of 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. And that's because I've got other responsibilities, and I will always reply to your email within 36 hours, or if it's urgent, you can text me. And I think actually just committing to that and making it a public statement was immensely helpful in taking pressure off myself. And also, just why should anyone have to reply to an email the minute it's received? It's such a distraction. And so actually just saying to people, I'm going to reply in my time. 36 hours isn't going to kill you waiting for it. If it's really super urgent and you already know me, you can send me a text because you'll already have my number, and ask me, you know, just tell me, you sent me an urgent email or whatever. So that's my first tip. Be really honest, have a think about the pattern of your day, about what works for you. Or even if you don't have to do that, even if you want to be on call all the time, actually just say on your emails, or do an auto reply, or put it on your footer, I'm going to reply within 24 hours or 36 hours or 48 hours, so that you're not always on call. The next massive breakthrough for me was that I stopped writing a to-do list, because inevitably my to-do list, I was always adding more than I was crossing off. So it was pages and pages and pages. And I just suddenly one day had this brainwave that I was going to write a done list. So I was always saying at the end of every day out loud and kind of beating myself up about it, oh, I failed to do this, I failed to do that. And my husband was saying, but think about all the great things you did. And all the things you did for other people that you don't have a choice in doing, but you still did them. It's not like you sat around doing nothing. So I came up with the idea of creating a done list, and every work day, so I don't do it at weekends, every work day, I just write down all the little things that I've done. And I guess in a little bit of a, like a journaling, mindful way, at the end of the day, I just code them. So I've got little symbols and colours. So was it something that I did for my well-being? Was it something that I did in terms of caring for one of the two people that I care for at home? Was it something that I did out of friendship for somebody else? Was it one of several types of tasks that I do in my day job? Was it one of the tasks that I do on my business that I'm building myself? Was it customer facing? Was it making jewellery? Was it marketing? You know, what kind of thing, task was it? And that's a pretty long list every day, even on the days that I used to say, oh, I've done nothing today, or I've let everybody down. And actually now I don't ever really feel like I've let anybody down. I feel like even if I write down, I took half an hour to have a kip on the sofa, I understand that I did it because it was important, and that if I hadn't done it, all the other things that I wrote down after it that I'd done wouldn't have been possible. So I don't consider it to be failure that I had a little kip. I consider it to be part of making the rest of the day possible and achieving all the things that I achieve every day.
I think everybody should create a done list rather than a to-do list and marvel at how much you probably have got done at the end of every day, because you're probably doing a lot more than you think you are. And that's what I just really loved about what Kate was saying just there. Like, if you can practice some gratitude in your business, it just means that you could just tackle the next task when you've got the right energy, when you're ready, without putting pressure on yourself. I have just absolutely loved listening to all of the contributors to this episode today. And the things that I'm going to take away from this episode myself, in terms of what I'm going to apply to my own time management practices, is I'm going to be a little bit kinder to myself and try and build in into my own time blocking techniques, rest time, gaps between calls and Zoom calls, time to feed my brain rather than just siphoning from it ongoing. I think I also need to be a bit more honest about the capacity that I have in my business as well, like Dr. Paula was talking about, and really understand the velocity of how I want to move my business based on the amount of time and money that I can put into it, a little bit like Paul was talking about with the aviation industry. I hope that listening to this episode is giving you some inspiration about what you can do in your own business to be kinder to yourself about how you manage your time, to motivate you to actually sit down and do the tasks that you've got to do, and giving you some insight into the tactics that others utilize to list out the things that they've got to do in their business at any one time. If there is one thing I have learned over the years, and definitely from doing putting this episode together, is that there is not one magic way to manage your time. It is personal, and it depends on where you are at with your energy, where you are at in your business, where you are at with your motivation. And if you can work on how to improve your motivation, or find the motivation, how to improve your energy, how to improve your thinking, those things might naturally just mean that you become better at prioritizing your tasks. We can't do all the things all the time. And also, by the way, this is meant to be fun sometimes, right? So we've got to build that element into the things that we're doing on our business on a day-to-day basis as well. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure that you subscribe. Come and leave a review over on iTunes. I'd love to know what you think, especially if you really enjoyed this contribution style podcast episode, because I will do more. I've absolutely loved connecting with my audience, talking to my friends, talking to my members about what they're doing. I feel like it's definitely improved my own take on time management, and I hope that that's the takeaway for you as well. I'll see you in next week's episode.